1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 says this, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we look forward to that day. Lord, we look forward to the day when you call us out of this place. Until then, help us to be faithful. Until then, help us to continue to serve you wholeheartedly. Bless service here tonight, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. That is what we call the rapture. This is the exodus, if you will, of the church. Following the rapture, Revelation chapter number 6. Revelation chapter number 6. We talked about this last week, just for sake of review. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 15. Church gets raptured out. Tribulation takes place. Revelation chapter 6 verse 15 says, "And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said of the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall stand? Who shall be able to stand?" That is what we would call the time of tribulation. And from Revelation chapter 6 all the way through Revelation chapter 19, we have a detailed account of the things to come. See, I could handle a little bit of God's wrath. If you read Revelation chapter 6 through Revelation chapter 19, it is unlike anything that this world has ever seen. I am thankful not to be part of that. Salvation is a free gift, 100%. I didn't have to do anything to earn it. I couldn't earn it. Jesus Christ paid my way. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." For by grace are ye saved through faith. "And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Salvation is a gift. We celebrated some birthdays this past week. There's no greater gift than the gift of salvation. What do I have to do? Simply receive it. Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us," Aaron. I am thankful for the grace of God. I am thankful for the mercy of God. Both keys to giving me the free gift of salvation. John chapter 4, turn with me there. John chapter 4. There is no amount of work a man could do to earn salvation. Say, if I had $1 million and I gave it we had this contest, the person that could use this the most, and I gave it away, no questions asked, would that earn me salvation? Absolutely not. Not. I'll join a church. I'll get baptized. I'll do good things. I'll give money. I'll donate blood. I'll do all those things. Nope. It is a gift of God. Jesus answered and said in John chapter 4 and verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the," what? The gift of God. What is he talking about? He's talking about himself. "And who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink." This is the story of the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, if you would. And remember, they were going back and forth. He says, "Man, do I have a, well, lady, do I have a gift for you?" It's him. Salvation is a gift, nothing that we could earn. We don't even deserve it. Maybe we can make a case for those that had birthdays. Hey, great job living another year. That's wonderful. Well done. Here's a new necklace. But I don't come to the Lord offering anything. And God says, "I love you. I died for you. And I paid for your sin, past, present, and future." No work there. None. Simply believing in my heart. Some people say, "Oh, the prayer, that's work." Oh, stop it now. For whosoever believeth in his heart, right, and makes confession. We read that this morning in Sunday school in John chapter 10. To him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is a free gift. And we have said so oftentimes, that is where life just begins. Once you get saved, it's a clean slate. It's all new after that. And you know what? There are some works after salvation. To maintain salvation? No, because of salvation. Now that I'm saved, I have an opportunity to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Say, what does this have to do with end times? I thought we were doing an end time study. Well, it does have a lot to do with that. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. How many of you love your Bible this evening? Man, I love the Word of God. Nobody? Does anybody love the Bible? Not the actual pages of it. How about this? I love the God of the Bible. And I love the Word of God, how it just takes all of these questions and answers them. Maybe it generates other questions, but it certainly answers some of the deepest questions. Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing here? Where am I going? Where did I come from? Ever wake up one morning and go, what on earth am I doing? Not because you forgot, Brother Seatman, but because maybe you're questioning, what am I working towards? 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, in verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about a sure foundation. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible calls him a rock. And upon him we can build. Verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, look at this now. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Understand this. Before the gold, silver, and precious stones, there has to be a foundation. There has to be a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. For without Christ, the works towards God are meaningless. But the Bible says in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. After salvation. So I wanted to make it abundantly clear here tonight. Salvation is not works. Salvation is grace, gift, mercy of God. But after we're saved, oh, we can do some things for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can do some things for God. And the Bible says, and every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. One day, I don't know how this all happens. I try and get a picture in my mind of the logistics or the process by this. How does works turn into a physical thing? And maybe in a few moments we'll be able to answer some of those questions, get a picture in our mind. But somehow our works for the Lord are transferred into something tangible one day in heaven. And God is going to try those works, and he's going to try them with fire. If any man, the Bible says, every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it. There's a day. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. Much different than the great white throne. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What do you mean what sort it is? Well, we're going to see in a few moments in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we can do things that are good and we can do things that are bad, both under the umbrella for the Lord. So how is that? Intentions. Motives. Why are you doing what you're doing? See, we could, well, I think we were talking about this in our Sunday school class a few weeks ago. I can make it look like I am doing things for God, but God has a way of trying our heart. He has a way of taking those actions and really examining them. And the Bible says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. So there's a possibility. There's something that you could do for God that will turn into, the Bible says, a reward. Again, this is not for salvation. This is after salvation. Look at verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Hey, if you got the foundation in Jesus Christ, no worries. That part is settled. But it'd be sad if you showed up. If you showed up in heaven with no rewards. Because there's things that we could do. You know what? It says this. It was made manifest. There's no hiding it. Ever I use my children as an example, but I use them to not talk about the adults and make us uncomfortable. Sometimes kids will be like, "Hey, Dad, I took care of the laundry, and I cleaned my room." Immediately, I'm asking, "What would you like? Like, what? Why are you doing this, Brother DeMail? My children are doing chores without being asked." So I check their intentions. "Well, you know, my friend called, and I was wondering if..." And so are we with the Lord, right? There's a possibility that we could be doing things for God that we would get glory. And say, how's that work out? I'm so thankful for the Lord that He can work out perfect judgment. You know what? There may be some people that think, "Man, I am banking a ton of stuff on the other side," only to get there and find out they were doing it for themselves. And there may be some little old lady in some country church that just served Jesus all her life who thought she didn't make a difference of anything. And one day at the judgment seat of Christ, it'll all be made manifest. And she just did it because she loved God. And man, there are rewards that she never knew. While the tribulation is going on, there's something called the judgment seat of Christ that's taking place. There's no hiding. All will be revealed. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. My intention was to talk about the millennium, the new heaven, the new earth, and the second advent. That'll be next week. And I do apologize if that was your expectation tonight. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Speaking to Christians. Say, I'm gonna be late to that party. I'm going to miss out on that. When I was in high school, 9th and 10th grade, before I transferred over to North Star Christian Academy, I went to Eastridge High School. And my least favorite 2 weeks of the year was swimming class. I hated swimming. Say, why did you hate swimming? Because I'm not a good swimmer. And they would throw you into the end, deep end, and make you swim laps and all that kind of stuff. And man, you would not believe the amount of times I figured out ways to miss those appointments. You were allowed one miss, no questions asked. That was week 2, because week 1 was just getting used to the water. So I could handle that one. Week 2, I would take that one off. That's the week that we're doing laps. I'm not doing that. All of a sudden, I would schedule a nurse's appointment, right? I would do that. Or fake sick. I don't know. I would do everything I could to get out of that meeting. And we may try as Christians say, "Hey, I'm going to do everything I can to miss out on that judgment seat of Christ." That doesn't sound like a meeting I'd like to be. The Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We will all have an appointment. Called to have a eyeglass appointment. They said, "October, we're booking into October." I said, "All right, well, I'll take it." When your number's called and when your name is called, you're standing before God. And the Bible says all our works will be made manifest, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Our works as Christians are going to be tried. Say, that's not fair. That's not right. That's what's going to happen. Isn't it good to know? Aren't you glad the Lord told us what to expect? And one of the scariest things in life are going into something that you've never been to and you just don't know what to expect. We're getting ready for Summit, and those that had never been to New Jersey had a lot of questions. What should we be ready for? And they had a lot of, and it was great to be able to relieve some of their concerns and fears because we had been there. Man, I'm so glad that the Lord told us what to expect one day when we get there. Remember that book, What to Expect When You're Expecting? I think everyone at one, I mean, if you're a mother, you probably had that. Man, that was so helpful to us as a couple. All of a sudden, weird things are going on. It told us about it. One day, we're going to stand before the Lord, and we can't say, "Well, I didn't know. I didn't know about this meeting." Nope. We are all going to stand before Him. Christians We'll all be there. God will be judging our works at the judgment seat of Christ. Look at Romans chapter 14. Let's just look at a couple other verses about that. And then we'll look at some more verses, and then a few more verses after that. Just to let you know where we're going. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou... Romans 14, 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It doesn't sound like that's a gray area. That doesn't sound like if you can make this meeting, if you can make this appointment, hey, whether you want to or not, you're going to be there. And your works as a Christian are going to be judged. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Once again, we're thankful for our Bible. It tells us all truth. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And whether you were a servant or a master, what you did for the Lord, God takes notice of. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter number 3. Look at verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. How many of you have heard that verse before? How many of you have quoted that verse before? To your children, to students, to anybody that'll listen. That's not working their hardest, right? Hey, I want to remind you, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as the Lord and not unto men. Look at verse 24, though. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Hey, there's a reward for serving Jesus Christ. Say, what do those rewards look like? I'm so glad you asked. James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. This is how our works for Christ are turned into things. Now follow along, James chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, blessed is man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. How much do you love the Lord? I love him a lot. Would you be willing to give up your life? Do you love him to the point of death? Is your life expendable for the cause of Christ? Look at Revelation chapter 2. I'm not saying you sign up to go run in between bullets. But the Bible says in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful, look at now, unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. James chapter 1 and verse 12, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, said there's a crown waiting. There's a crown waiting for some that may give up their life. We would call this a martyr's crown. Someone that gave up their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just because you die doesn't mean you're a martyr. Got to be for the right cause. But there's a crown waiting for that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. Hey, if you can endure temptation, if you can have some self-control, if you can say no to sin, God says, I'm watching that, and there's actually a reward on the other side. Do you understand that every single time that you say no to sin, God jots that down? Say, really? Yeah, really. And one day, that saying no to sin, that saying no to temptation, turns into something tangible. Say, what are we going to do with those crowns? I've given you this illustration before, and my dad is successful Say, that's a blessing. It's a blessing until birthday time and Father's Day. Say, why? What do you get a guy that has everything? You can only make so many homemade cards. I'm 43 years old. He doesn't appreciate them as much anymore. What do you get a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? Well, you serve him, and then they turn into rewards, and then you can give them back to him. An incorruptible crown. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, it tells us that there's a crown of righteousness for those that love his appearing. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 2 through 4, there's those that take responsibility within the flock of God. Reference it as a pastor's crown. One of leadership, one that could be entrusted, one that was faithful. There's a special crown of glory, it's called. Say, well, I don't know. What about all the people that didn't give up their life? What happens if I don't get a chance to be a pastor? Can I show you one? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. This is something we can all participate in. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my beloved, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy, he says, and crown. He's calling the church of Philippi his crown. He tells them, so stand fast in the faith, my dearly beloved. Why are they his crown? Because he has had an opportunity or a hand in them coming to Christ. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. The crown of rejoicing is what we would call the soul winner's crown. Those that are helping people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand that every time you hand out a gospel tract, every time you share a testimony, every time you help someone take one step closer to coming to Christ, you have an opportunity to... I don't want to say the wrong words, but it... to earn or to receive a crown, a reward. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? He says, you all are that crown, the crown of rejoicing. One day, somehow, our works are going to turn into rewards. And those done with the right heart, with the purpose and endeavor to glorify God with it, with the purpose of God getting glory, not me taking it, not me exalting myself, God is able to examine our intentions, our motives. And you know what? There's something called the judgment seat of Christ where all those works are made manifest. It broke it down into three categories. It said gold, silver, and precious stones. And then the other group was wood, hay, and stubble. And they're all going to go through the fire. What do you think is going to happen, Aaron, when wood, hay, and stubble get passed through the fire? They're going to burn. And what's left will be nothing but ashes. Our works turned into nothing. And isn't that a frustrating thing when you spend so much time and at the end of the day you look back and go, I did nothing. It didn't turn out how he wanted, and man, that's frustrating. Imagine living a whole life for yourself and not for the Lord and getting the judgment seat of Christ and having nothing. Hey, say, are you trying to guilt trip? I'm just trying to tell you what's coming. There's an appointment, and all us Christians, everybody that's saved, is going to stand at this judgment seat of Christ, and our works are going to turn into a reward. Just be ready. Be ready. Be faithful. Not only that, turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. Two thoughts tonight. Number one, the judgment seat of Christ. The second thought, I'm excited about this. Revelation chapter 19, as I told you before, as we looked at last week, the tribulation goes from Revelation chapter 6 all the way through 19 here. And right before the Lord comes back, That would be called the second advent. When he comes back, not us going to him, but him returning to earth. We'll talk about that next week. Right before that, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. To give honor. How would I give honor? Well, that judgment seat of Christ, where those rewards turn into honor and something back to him. For the marriage supper of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. The Lamb would be the Lord Jesus Christ. His bride is the church. His wife, that's us. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed, look at now, in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen, look at now, is the righteousness of saints. Oh, praise the Lord for the righteousness of saints. See, I told you I was great. I told you how good I was. God finally recognized it. Oh, no, no, no. Marriage supper of the Lamb, something wonderful happens. We put off these old sinful rags and we take on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we stand there clean. And can you imagine that feast? Let's look at verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. He said, bank on it. Oh man, I'm excited about that. I'll be honest. That judgment seat of Christ, that's got me a little concerned a little bit. But after that, a marriage supper of the Lamb. In my mind, this is what it looks like. And you can do in your mind. But it just reminds me that heaven is a real place. To have something called the marriage supper of the Lamb. To have something like that is so tangible. It's not just a heightened state. No, there's things going on. And there's a lamb, and there's a wife. We're all arrayed in fine linen. John chapter 14, familiar verse. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 3. Now, let's look at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He's got something working. He's making something. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I am looking forward to that time. That time when we finally get to see our Savior face to face. Yeah, who's going to be there? Oh, man. We're all going to be there. That's why I love dinner on the grounds. Say, why do you love dinner? Because it's kind of like the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's all God's chosen people together. What a strange bunch we are. No offense, Stephen. But we're strange. Like, no way would we assemble together outside of Christ. I mean, maybe. But look at the range of people. Raised in the church, came in late, the things that Christ forgave us of. Could you imagine sitting there at that marriage supper that day, seated at the table, Christ at the head of it, and it is a long table. Plenty of seats, plenty of room. There, addicts sitting next to apostles. What a time that's going to be. I have some speculations of what food will be there and what food will not be there. But that's just speculation. You bring it. I guarantee that's not getting in. We're sitting there in righteousness. I have no righteousness. Say, where did I get righteousness? How can I be clothed in righteousness? Romans chapter number 5, and we'll conclude with this thought. Romans chapter number 5. This is a very important doctrine. I want you to try and get a hold of this now. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. The Bible says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Say, where did I get my sinful nature from? Adam. For unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Thankful for that verse. That's a verse you should know. That's a totally different lesson. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Do you understand that sin was imputed even before? Say, why Moses? What's the big deal with Moses? That's before the law even came. Moses is the mark of the law. Even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who in the figure of him that was to come. I got something from my dad, and that's a sinful nature. There's a common line to all of us, and it's death. Go with me to Genesis chapter number 5. Hold your place. No, go ahead, you can turn. Genesis chapter 5, and we're almost done. Genesis chapter number 5. Tell me about Adam. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them. That's it. There's only two. That would solve a lot of problems right there. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. And in that day, in the day when they were created, look at verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. The days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years. And he begat sons and daughters. Say, that's a ton of time. But read, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And the Bible says these three words, and he died. Through Adam, and every person after that dies. Seth lived 100 years, 105 years, and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years. And the Bible says, and he died. And you know what? Enos died, verse 11. Canaan dies. Every person in this list and the generations of Adam die. Why? Because Adam passed something on to every man, and that's sin. And the payment for sin is death. Adam passed it on to all of us. And then we come to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Second Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 21. For the wages of sin is death. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Who's he talking about? Jesus Christ. So here's what happened. The word is imputed. We saw that in Romans chapter 5. Adam imputes. Chloe, have you ever heard that word impute? No, it means charge or credit. So Adam sinned, and because of Adam's sin, we all get charged as sinners. That would be like you stealing a candy bar from Wegmans, which I do not recommend, and then all of us getting charged by the police being thieves. That's what happened. Adam sinned, and that sinful nature gets passed down to all mankind. But then Jesus Christ shows up, and the Bible says, and he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Adam transfers his sin to man. Jesus shows up, who knew no sin, and we can take our sin and transfer it to Jesus. And then he dies on the cross and pays for it. In exchange, he then gives us something. Righteousness. Go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. There's the transfer of sin from Adam to man. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift, we talked about that, came upon all men under justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, who's that? That's Adam. Many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Adam transfers his sin to mankind. Now I have to pay for my sin. Jesus comes and I take my sin and transfer it to him. In exchange, he gives me his righteousness. So when I read about sitting there at the marriage supper of the Lamb, I got in on this transaction that took sin and put it to Jesus, and Jesus took his righteousness and clothed me in it. And there I sit at a table of the King I have no business being at, only there by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. Matthew chapter 1. I want to show you this. Two more verses. That sounds like a good deal to me. Remember the generations of Adam. Everybody dies. Now we're going to read the generations of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1. I'm sure it was an oversight by Matthew and his recording, but the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Phares. We're missing three words. And he died. See that I'm sure it was a... Listen, through Adam, all men die. Through Jesus Christ, life everlasting. I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do all these people eventually die? Absolutely. But when it references the generation of Jesus Christ, it just doesn't share it with us. Just to get in our head that we got in on something. Eternal life. Last verse, Psalm 32. So while the tribulation is going on, what's happening? Well, there's the judgment seat of Christ, culminating with the marriage supper of the Lamb, to which then, right after that, Jesus returns to earth. Psalm chapter 32 and verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord, look at now, imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. How are you doing tonight? My life could be a total wreck, but after reading that verse, I am blessed. Say, why is that? Because God is not charging me with my sin. My worst day as a Christian is better than my best without Christ. Because my greatest problem has been solved. Jesus Christ took that sin payment upon himself, in exchange gave me his righteousness, to which one day is my ticket to sit at a table I have no business being at, but it's all because of him. If all that's true, surely we could serve him with the right intention. It shouldn't be such a struggle for us to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing all that he did for us. Let's all stand. Some things to come. Say, what's coming? The judgment seat of Christ. You're going to want to pay attention to that. That's a real thing. All your works for the Lord will be made manifest. And there's a supper at the end. Oh man, those that are seated at it, do you understand? No one is worthy outside of the Lord Jesus Christ to sit there. Praise the Lord. We have an opportunity. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, I look forward to the day to see you. I look forward to the day that can shed this flesh, this constant burden of the of the temptations. God, it will be good to not fight myself anymore. God, I look forward to the time when I can see you face to face. Lord, thank you. Thank you for that gift. Thank you that not only did you pay for our salvation, but you want to have fellowship with us. God, I don't deserve any of that. Thank you for your righteousness, exchanging my sin for that. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be mindful of these things, that we would live our life in service to you. You're really, as the song says, all that matters. Lord, forgive us for taking glory away. Forgive us for taking attention away. Lord, help us to serve you faithfully. Lord, we do love you and we do look forward to that appearing. Lord, help us again to be found faithful until that time. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good night.